Steve Jobs, you know who Steve Jobs is? Does everybody? Do I have to say who Steve
Apple,
Jobs?
Apple, right?
He's the CEO of Apple Computer, considered a brilliant man, responsible for the iPod revolution. He has made a statement recently that I kind of agree with. He was speaking at Apple Expo in Paris. See, what's going on is record companies, behind the scenes, are talking about raising the price of a song sold online. Right now at iTunes, you can get a song for 99 cents.
Right.
Oh, they can't raise it. I won't be able to afford it.
And Steve Jobs said, if they want to raise the rates, it means they're getting greedy. And he said that people won't stand for it. That 99 cents was the perfect threshold price where people would say, all right, for years I felt ripped off by greedy record companies. At 99 cents, it's low enough that buying a song's, you know, buying a couple of songs is like buying a cup of coffee.
Right.
I'll do it. I will be honest. I'll be. That sounds like a fair value.
And plus, you can equate it out to a CD. A dozen songs on a CD, $1,000, $12 for a CD, that's not too much. Nobody sells CDs for $12 unless they're on sale. So that's a price we can live with.
How does that work? Because I have never bought a dollar in online music. If you wanted to buy a whole CD, do they give you a price break?
It depends on the CD. If it's something with a nice price. Mm-hmm. Like, my wife went away for a few days, and I felt like an angry woman complaining, and so I downloaded Alanis Morissette's big album, Jagged
right.
Little Pill.
Right. The original or the
original? The original
okay.
one.
Yeah.
yeah. The original, angry, mean, nasty lyrics, yeah. you know, wham, bam.
Yeah, no, that was a real cry for help.
That was a great line, wham, bam, 52, or whatever she said. Anyway, it was wine, dine.
Wine, dine, yeah.
Yeah,
that's wham,
what it was.
Bam.
That's a different joke.
You wham, bam, 52'd me, I think is what she's saying. Anyway, I bought that, and it was $9.99 for the album, because it was an oldie. It was in the cutout bin of the, if there is such a thing. But 99 cents each, good price. The labels are saying they want to create different tiers of pricing. They want, for example, the new, whatever name, insert hot artist here, 50 Cent, Eminem,
right,
whatever.
Right.
They want the new songs to cost more, and the older ones at a discount. So the new album might be $1.49 for a single, and then the $9.99 would be the discount, the dreck laying on the shelves that they've already sold for years and.
Well, then
more
they
profit.
Well, if they're going to do that, they better catalog some of it down to 49 cents for the stuff that you're the only guy who wants it.
Well, Steve Jobs is warning them that this is a bad idea. Jobs said, customers think the price is really good where it is, 99 cents. What is it about human nature that extra decimal point is so important in everything we buy? You know
like,
what I mean?
Oh, you mean the dollar one would be
the
a
homes
dollar.
Are under a million, right. $9.99, $9.99, $9.99.
Right. Psychologically, there is a big difference right. there. It's a
penny is so important to us that it'll make the decision change from yes to no.
If it was 101 instead of 99 cents, how much business would they lose? You think
a lot.
They'd lose a 20% drop in business?
Yeah. And I'm
not dollar
sure,
one?
I'm not sure I understand why, because it's not that much.
Oh, but it is.
No,
that
not.
Is
two
a
cents.
Sickness. It is a sickness. I log on to that iPod website every day, and I just click, 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 click on every song I see that I've ever wanted to listen to on my iPod, and then I get the bill, and it's so much more than I ever think it's going to be.
What's your typical
$9.99, $9.99, $9.99.
What's your typical monthly music bill?
Oh, monthly? I'd say every 2 weeks I spend like $40.
Every 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
$40?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what you are?
Sometimes.
You are some record company executive's wet dream, because this is what they...
And you buy music.
Sorry. No, I meant that figuratively. Because you were gone. You were on Grokster. You were on Napster.
Mm-hmm.
And you were... Essentially, they had blown the whole thing. And now they got it back, because a lot of you are buying music legally. I have a friend, Steve, my electrician friend. He's extreme conservative. You know my extreme.
I know Sparky.
Yep. Sparky was as soon as there was a legal way to do it, he's like, anyone who doesn't should be damned to hell. Because, you know, they like damning people to hell, the extreme right-wingers. And so, and but I admired him for it. I admired him for...
That's morals.
For morals, yeah. and not stealing, and anyone else who does. And I'm sort of kind of like half and half, because I work at the radio station here, mm-hmm. and I'm in the media business, and it's perfectly okay for me to preview, audition, listen to music. It's part of my mm-hmm. job, and the record companies send us the music for free.
Right.
So I have a sense of entitlement. Which I'm not proud of.
But you're not, but not I'm, foregoing either.
But I'm still taking
right.
it. Yes.
I wouldn't mind doing the online music buying, but, I mean, is there a place like a... Is there a used MP3 store?
That's a great idea.
I mean, they're
all used MP3s, yeah. Well, Joe. There are no brand new ones.
Because I like, you know, the discount. I love used
I'm
records.
I'm sure iPods are loaded with no longer used songs.
Isn't there a way, if you bought a song, you're sick of it, can you sell it back for a quarter and then have, you know, have somebody else sell it to somebody
so
else for 50 cents?
You're
Why
so
not?
Cute.
Yeah.
You own
That's
it?
Adorable.
You actually don't own it, Joe. You're licensed to use it because
you bought it.
You've paid a licensing fee.
Is there a time limit on your licensing fee?
Believe it or not, that's as complicated as the stuff on the back of your ticket at a sporting event. It really is complicated.
Okay. Now, I bet there will be a time where they'll buy them back from you. You don't think so?
No.
I mean, just to give you incentive?
Joe.
Or trade in, trade four songs, get one new one?
No. You paid for the experience of having that song, and you got the experience. Whether you chose to have it, it's like getting married, actually, whether you chose to have it once or twice a week,
mm-hmm.
or 7 days in a row, you're right. still married to that contract that you signed that says, 99 cents, give me access to this song. You're not going to... You couldn't sell a used MP3.
It's awesome, though. It'd be a great Saturday Night Live bit, wouldn't it?
I get to the used MP3 store. Yeah, jazz is over there. Hip hop's back that way.
It's a product you're purchasing. And you should be able to give it to somebody else at
yeah.
some point.
You could sell used Kleenex because that's a product. It's a piece of thing you can hold in your hand.
Yeah, you still got a clean side. Yeah.
But this is a. I mean, if
it's like buying a ticket to a movie. After you walk out of the movie, can you sell your ticket to someone else for half price?
No.
But if you buy a CD or you buy a 45, you know, back in the day.
You are selling them a piece of plastic.
Right.
You're not selling the songs. You actually don't have the right to sell the songs.
Well, why are used record stores all over the
My
place?
My God, he's actually backed me into a corner.
This is fun.
I mean, it seems.
You have backed me into a corner. How could I be backed into a corner by this?
The used CD, used MP3 store. It's a great idea. You ought to go with it.
Oops, what happened to the mic?
I think you blew it up.
It's coming back.
Now no, God doesn't want you to win.
If it's a product, I mean, if I bought a screwdriver, I fixed what I needed, and somebody wanted to buy that screwdriver, I don't own the screwdriver anymore. They own the screwdriver. If I want to get rid of the music at pennies on the dollar of what I paid, shouldn't I be able to?
Okay, the mic popped back in. I've been backed into a corner by the slowest talker on the planet. It's going to take me all weekend to get over that. Joe, there's a difference between buying an experience and buying a physical product, okay? An experience is like, say, a massage.
Right.
Oh, me massage you a long time. That was great. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Would you massage my friend now?
See, when I buy
That's
a song,
a service.
When
it's
I
an
buy
experience.
A song on a jukebox, I'm buying an experience. When I buy a song for my home, I'm adding to a library. A library
of experiences.
Well,
it's yours as often as you want them for as long as you want it.
That's right. And then yours alone.
Well, not with books and other things. If I wanted to give that book to somebody as a
That's
Christmas
a physical
gift.
Piece of paper you're giving that happens to have the book on it.
MP3 is not a physical thing in any way, shape, or form?
No. An MP3 is software.
Not hardware.
Yeah. So the rules of software apply. Now do you get it? I can't believe.
Oh, I get it. I just think it's maybe that's why I don't buy online music when they set it up. So when I, you know, get tired of it, maybe I can get a little something for it. There should be an aftermarket for MP3s is all I'm saying.
We are not going to convince him. I will tell you this. It's funny you should mention that, because one of the biggest issues of MP3s right now, and it's huge, and no one has thought about this. As you buy these, and yes, you have the license to use them as long as you want, you're putting them on what? Fragile hard drives that typically get replaced every 5 years. One thing that ought to happen, and I predict it will be a business model in the future, is that some company ought to hold on to your licensed music for you. And I think, much like Grandpa's record collection, it can be passed down for generations.
So that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
So there'll be a...
But you can't sell it. You can't resell it.
You can will it to somebody?
This is your intellectual property to listen to as long as you like.
Uh-huh.
And you will store it on your computer, right? Uh-huh. Right now, your computer hard drive crashes every 5 years and you lose all your data. Are you going to go to... Are you going to call Apple up or knock on their door?
My system crashed and I lost 35,000 songs. Can I have them again?
I don't think they're going to give them to you.
So you'll put it in an internet-based storage site somewhere where it's out there even if your computer crashes?
That's, I think, going to be a business, if it isn't one already.
Like a use of public storage for your songs?
Right, because I'm worried about stuff that I... Because now that I've actually... I have bought stuff, because when I'm traveling and I can't get to the access to the library here at the radio station, I go to iTunes.com, I pick the songs I want to hear, I download them, just like Casey. Mm-hmm. But now... They're sitting on a laptop. That thing is fragile. Laptops, you know what, to the bed every mm-hmm. 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could say it.
I know.
You get the idea. They're hot. They heat up. They spin fast, those processors, and they...
Right. So when that happens, have I lost my licenses? I don't know.
Can't you copy them onto a storage...
I guess there's some geeks calling us right now.
Set them on your shelf right now?
Let's ask these geeks what happens. Because, Joe, you've got me freaked now.
And if I buy an MP3, shouldn't my whole family be able to listen to it? I mean, couldn't you put it in a public spot where my daughter can listen to it if she wants?
I think she can.
You can do that.
Yeah, it's for your personal use, and you're not allowed to charge people to come into your bar and listen to your MP3s. It's very similar. This stuff has been in place for movies forever. It's in and software. It's very similar to that. Randy, hello.
Oh, hey. You guys are just talking about how you can't give your MP3 to somebody else, like you can give a book to somebody else or an album or a CD.
Not legally.
Else. Well, right. But I mean,
right. But
you can, such a great you word.
You can download your MP3. To a floppy disk or email your MP3 to anybody and they can use it.
Steal it. Right.
Oh,
but
you're giving it to them.
Yeah, but that's stealing.
That's like
stealing it.
That's opening the side door to a movie theater and letting your friends in.
That's stealing.
You see the similarities?
Randy, is there a null in your brain where you didn't hear that word, or what was your reaction to stealing?
Well, hold on, I almost hit a biker.
oh, I'm sorry.
A pedaling or motor driven? Because I don't care about some of them.
No, on the side of a road.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't,
I'm sorry, I killed someone to make my point.
You were saying that you physically could not give the music to somebody else, but I didn't know you were talking about the legal side of it.
That's entirely, that's all we're talking about.
The legal side of it.
MP3s are easy to steal. There's no reason someone would buy one except that they're a decent human being.
Now go commit vehicular homicide.
Randy, thank you. 1-800-252-1025. Joe thinks there should be an aftermarket for used
awesome.
MP3s, but also I'm going to pose the even longer range question. When you die, what happens to your MP3 collection? If you want to follow the letter of the law, does anybody know? Joe wonders why there aren't used MP3 stores. You're going to buy it for 99 cents. Larry, will you help me out and explain it to him?
Yeah. When you buy an iTunes, they do allow you to burn that to a CD like 7 times, I believe. I can't remember the exact number, but you can do it. And if you get a .Mac account, it gives you several email addresses and a gigabyte of storage, which you can buy more, but it comes with a gig, that you can upload to their server and then back down to your computer for external storage, so
there's
to speak.
Your vault, yeah.
That's great. And I'll do that right after I clean out the lint from the washer-dryer machine every time I do my shirts. Why do I have to do all that?
Who loses if it crashes?
You would be able to sell your MP3s that way, though.
How?
Put into a CD and then sell them to somebody.
That's illegal.
You can sell used software. Go to any store. You can buy used software that you no longer have on your computer.
Yeah, I couldn't justify burning 7 of them and selling them, but I could certainly justify if I'm sick of a song.
You would if you were Chinese, Joe, if you were sitting on a street in China. That's what they do.
Right.
They make their own.
But it does seem to me if I bought a song for 99 cents and I heard it 10 times and I decided I didn't like that song, that I should be able
to be able to get your money back or a portion of
it. He said you can sell use software. If you download software for money off the internet and then burn a CD of it at home, that software, can you sell that? You've bought it.
A lot of this is the honor system. No, you can't. But if you purchase the actual physical software discs, say for Office,
from a store,
you upgrade to a new one or you want to just sell it, I think you can. Robert.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Good morning. This is how software licensing works. It's kind of complicated, but I'll give you the shortened version.
By the way, before you even give us the shortened version,
mm-hmm.
If it's kind of complicated, how's anybody supposed to follow the rules?
Most people don't, unfortunately.
All right, with that caveat.
But it is written down. If you read the fine print, it's really boring, trust me. But here's how it goes. Let's use the software analogy. Suppose I go to the store and purchase a copy of Windows XP.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody realizes, the industry realized, this a long time ago. Digital media is volatile, okay? And there was a lot of gripes about, well, my CD died, how do I get it replaced? By the agreement, you are allowed to make one backup copy of that software in the event that your hard drive decides to head south for the winter. You are then allowed to reinstall that software under the agreement. With purchased software, I mean physical software, not downloaded. With purchased software, you are allowed to sell that copy if you no longer want it, but you also have to give up your backup copy if you made one.
Right. And it's this whole backup copy thing is kind of annoying, because it's like, what if I bought a Zenith television and they gave me a box of parts and a schematic and said, you're allowed to build a backup television, but we ain't going to replace that one or fix it for you.
Well,
I don't have the time to do that.
This is where it gets tricky. And problems with downloaded software, you are correct. You cannot resell downloaded software because
there's no
guarantee that you didn't make 5-6 copies of it.
So for that reason, then we've got to keep the hard CD going. We've got to keep this antique form of media going so I have some ownership.
Nah, the .Mac account is sort of what I was talking about, isn't it, Robert? Basically, you can keep your stuff there.
Right.
I hadn't heard of the .Mac account. I'm a PC user myself, but that is one very viable solution.
That's
I got to find a place for
the... The only problem with that is...
My worry is the MP3s I'm buying are going to crap out when my computer blanks the bed.
That's why under the licensing agreement you are allowed to make one backup copy.
Yeah, me doing all the work. I like them to provide for my every need.
They're not going to do it.
It's like selling
you.
Me a toaster that's going to break.
They should sell you two of everything.
No, they should. It should come with a warranty, and they're responsible if something goes wrong, not me.
Well, that's like asking your health insurance company to be responsible for your personal health.
Robert, thank you. Norm in Seattle. Norm, go ahead.
Hey, Bob. Spike, Joe, Casey. How you guys doing?
Good.
Confused. My head hurts.
Yeah, I'm with
you. My mouth's kind of getting dry.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, what I do, I borrow CDs of albums I already have from the library, burn them onto my computer or my iPod. Now, seeing how I've already paid for the album once, would you consider what I'm doing stealing?
No. I would consider you an honorable man who's wasting a lot of time running around town.
And the last guy in a public library, too. Kudos to you, my friend.
Here's to you, antique man.
Now, you're saying these are albums you bought on vinyl?
Yes.
And you're going and getting CDs?
I also think you're probably full of crap, but I'm going with it anyway.
It sounds great.
Thank you, Norm. Here's John in Arlington. John?
Hey, it's that old argument, you know, of it's kind of like the radio. You can play something on the radio and I can burn it onto a CD. It's only illegal if you get caught. And when you go to court, you just simply say, hey, you know, okay, I've got all these files that I downloaded from the Internet. If that's illegal, then it's illegal for me to record off the radio.
So your philosophy is that if a crime happens in the forest and no one is there to see it, then no crime was committed.
No, it's don't sign an agreement to anything and just find the other ways to get it for free.
Thank you, Jesse James. Eric in Seattle.
Bob, does it hurt when Joe is so right?
Yes.
Yes.
Dude, I'm telling
He's
you,
admitting
haters.
It.
Everybody's confusing the issue here. Let's take a book. Everybody knows what a book is. It's a collection of paper, right? And it's got words on it. Mm-hmm. So there's physical property, the paper, intellectual property, the words. Now, I can read a book, and I can go sell it at a used bookstore because I'm transferring the media and I'm transferring the intellectual property.
Or trade a few books for one new one that you want to read.
Right, you're exactly. Giving up the intellectual property. You can no longer use it anymore.
Correct. And there's no difference under copyright law if I transfer, or for example, let's say I wanted to really keep that book, and I went and I bought the Xerox paper, and I Xeroxed all the intellectual property out of the book onto the Xerox paper. That would be wrong. That would be theft. That wouldn't be fair use.
It would also cost more than the book.
Yeah, I know, but that's the wrong argument. Let him play. He's doing good.
I don't think it's the wrong argument. It's a question of transferring the right to use the intellectual property, like the movie or the words on the page, separately from the media, what contains that property. The media doesn't matter. That's why you're allowed, for example, to make the backup copy.
So I see where you're going with this, is the used MP3 store could exist, and everyone would have to swear that was their only copy.
That's you know, as much of as ridiculous of a concept as it is, that's the foundation of copyright law.
So there could be a court case to test that out.
Property,
Joe?
And what you have to, all you have to do is make the MP3 so they can't be copied, right? I mean...
And that's what Apple has done with Fair Play DRM. It protects the rights of the rights owners, and it lets people transfer them. I think an individual iTunes song, which isn't MP3, by the way, can be played by seven different devices in its lifetime. So it's theoretically possible to do stuff like this.
And
question.
It is just like
the used
like having
MP3 store, though, so it would not take too much away from Apple or whoever, you would have to really like dig around to find what you wanted and stuff. I mean, it would be a lot harder.
Wait a minute. I actually want to interrogate you, Eric, here, because some of what you said is very much involved in the very complicated rules, which I have read a little bit about but forgot. Technically, and by the way, does the MP3 know how many computers it's been with? Is it like
the Apple's AAC format includes what they call Fair Play DRM, digital rights management, and so it does know how many computers have touched it.
Wow, so I'm getting sloppy sixths, maybe.
you may be listening to someone else's notes, Bob.
Wow, this MP3 reminds me a little of Courtney Love. It's not even her. All right, well, that's fascinating, Eric. Could a used MP3 store exist? Could there be a court challenge, a test case? Could Joe open one up?
There's already a market for, I mean, if you consider that an MP3 is an electronic license to intellectual property, expensive enterprise software, scientific software, certain business applications, there's already a used market in it. When dot-coms die, one of the things that the creditors could do is sell off their licenses to things like database programs and publishing programs to people who come along at auction and sell it into the resale market. So technically, it's legally permissible. You've transferred. You're certifying that you're not holding any copies of it.
All right. Thank you, Eric. We are out of time. Joe, you rock, dude.
Well done.
As you kiss my mouth, as a wife to brown, she pinned me to the ground. She knew the way around.
Much like Demi Moore, Fran Drescher has a hot young man in his mid-20s cohabitating with her. But for Fran, that's just the plot for her new WB TV show. Actually, not coming back. Second season. Living with Fran. Although I'm sure she could have a hot young beefcake guy living with her in real life if she wanted one. Fran is, of course, the very funny comedian actress who spent several seasons as the nanny, which lives on in worldwide syndication, as well as many movies, including Saturday Night Fever. This is Spinal Tap. Living with Fran kicks off its second season. Fran Drescher, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show.
Thanks so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure to hear your wonderful voice.
You're still under my spell.
I am, and it's because I spent a lot of time growing up on the East Coast, and you know, your trademark little squeal and the little thing, to me, it's soothing.
Oh, that's sweet.
But I know that not everybody has always felt that way. In fact, I believe I read that you tried to change your voice early on in your acting career. How did that go?
Well, you know, my manager thought that I would, you know, get more diverse parts, and if I had learned how to speak without my accent. And I kind of sort of tried, but I lost my personality, and I didn't, and I was, you know, speaking so exacting. I didn't really, it wasn't a natural thing for me, and so I just kind of abandoned it, and I think it didn't get work also because I was already kind of established as that, you know, funny actress with the funny voice.
Right. And now, like, could you try and sound British? What would that sound like?
Oh, yes. I speak with accents quite well, actually.
Wow. Mm.
Yes. No, I'm on.
So it's possible for you to not be Fran Drescher.
Yeah, if I want to, you know, perform to an empty room, nobody will hire me. Although, you
nobody
know,
will hire me.
Series, living with Fran, you know, sometimes I'll do a different dialect as to disguise my voice within the story or something like that.
Right.
When I'm talking to somebody or whatever.
Does that manager still work with you, or does he ask people to pull to the second window at a drive-thru somewhere today?
No, that manager is very much with me. She is one of my dearest and oldest friends, and she's fantastic, and actually my prime minister, a great advisor for me throughout my career, a real Renaissance woman.
Wow.
You know, we try everything. Doesn't hurt to try, and I got a lot of mileage out of the story anyway. I'm still telling it.
Hey, true, you went to high school with Ray Romano?
Yes, I did.
Question, in high school, did everybody love Ray?
No, Ray was not very popular. Everyone loved Fran.
There you go.
Oh, by the way, Fran,
but,
I have...
you know, he certainly turned that around.
He sure did. I have to say, happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I see.
It's nice for my birthday with you guys.
We opened with the whole Demi Moore thing, and of course this is the premise of your show, but in real life, would you consider having a much younger man?
Well, as a matter of fact, in real life I did have a very serious relationship with a man 16 years my junior for 4 years, and that is what the new series Living with Fran is kind of loosely based off of.
Okay.
So, and I write about it in my book, Cancer Schmancer, and my relationship with him. So, yes, I would and do. You know, I date now, and although I would love to meet someone who's more contemporary to me, I tend to end up with guys that are younger than me because I'm very plugged into, you know, new music, and I'm very contemporary in my tastes. So I seem to have more in common with younger guys.
You're looking for a young rock star.
Yes, that would be nice. Yes.
Somebody from the Black Crows,
though.
Counting Crows, doesn't matter.
I hung out with a lot of musicians, and, you know, the thing is they're always touring, so I've kind of felt like the issue that I work through in my therapy, which is to stop trying to be with men that hold you a little bit at arm's bay,
mm-hmm.
like my dad did, mm-hmm. trying to win the unwinnable. Being with a rock star is not really, you know, or any musician that tours a lot is not really the best thing from my therapy.
No, okay, apparently not. That would be...
Because they're never there.
That's right.
You're always, you know, longing for them.
By the way, True, the Nanny, the big show, The Nanny, was pitched to the president of CBS on an airplane when you happened to accidentally run into him. True?
Yes, that's carpe diem, seizing the moment and, you know, making the most out of everything. And when opportunity knocks, and it knocks all the time, but it's up to us as individuals to recognize it and go for it, take that brass ring. So that was, yes.
Were you both in first class?
Oh, we were, but I was on frequent flyer mileage. And I said, Jeff, he said, Fran, and then I ran into the bathroom to put some makeup on. And as I'm powdering my face, I'm thinking, you know, carpe diem, carpe diem. And so when I walked out, I started talking to him, and, you know, he said, oh, we've got a lot of good things, you know, a lot of good scripts, and because I had just did a short-lived series with him called Princesses with Julie Haggerty and Twiggy that, you know, didn't last, and then I did a pilot that didn't get picked up, and he said, we've got a lot of things, and I said, you know what, Jeff, you know, you have to listen to my ideas because I'm too original, and nobody is going to write something for me unless it starts with me. Wow. That fits me hand in glove. And he's like, you know, whatever, but 9.5 hours later,
yeah,
you know,
baby.
He said, okay, well, when we get back to L.A., you know, I'll set up an appointment with our development department. Mm. And when I went on to London, I was hanging out with my friend Twiggy's daughter because Twiggy was working a lot. And so she was like this young private British boarding school girl, and I'm dragging her all over town, and she says, you know, oh, Frau, my new shoes are hurting me. And I said, well, sweetie, step on the backs of them, because I didn't want to be by myself. I didn't want to take her home. And she says, well, won't that break them? And I said, break them in. And I thought, oh, this is funny. I'm not really giving her good advice, but there's maybe a television show idea.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And I immediately called my husband back in L.A., and I said, you know, what do you think of a spin on The Sound of Music, only instead of Julie Andrews, I come to the door? And he said, that's it. So, you know,
carpe diem.
That was the basis for The Nanny.
Fran
and
Drescher.
Now Living with Fran is also, you know, loosely based off of my real life and my life experiences with my younger boyfriend. Yeah, well, and it's so funny. And this year we really figured it out, and it's totally caught lightning in a bottle, and it's really great.
It is. Fran Drescher in Los Angeles. Fran?
Yes, I'm hearing music.
Yes, and this is called Happy Birthday to Fran.
Thank you.
Disturbing news about the Rolling Stones. None of us like to see this. The Rolling Stones are, and this is according to a British tabloid, so, you know, it must be true. The Rolling Stones are on tour, as you know. When they arrive in town and they pull up all those semi-tractor trailers and unload, they'll be unloading something they previously had never taken on tour. Care to guess what it might be?
Something. Wow, the Stones have been touring for 40 years. They've
never taken this on tour
before.
It's something for the stage. You know, it's something for the stage.
We've got a trailer for the wives, all right.
They don't bring their wives usually, do they?
I suppose that varies depending on which one's complaining the loudest.
It's a piece of equipment they're taking for this stage.
Sidebar here. Chris in Stillicum says he saw an episode of The Nanny dubbed into Italian. What did they do?
When I was over there, it was just a normal actress doing the voice. It sounded no different than any of the other females in the cast.
No kidding.
Oh, that's boring. Did she try to go?
No, not at all. I mean, it was just. I've actually heard from an Italian over there, and there is no difference to their voice at all.
Thank you, Chris.
How could that work?
They don't care. They've sold it to a foreign country, and they don't really care how well it plays. You bought it. You bought it. You broke it.
Jokes are still in there.
That's right. All right, Rolling Stones touring, something they have not had on a previous tour, and I find it a little disturbing.
That they have it or that they never had it before?
No, that they have it now.
Oh.
Is it one of those pitch corrector machines they use for singers now?
It's not. Great guess.
Because I'd hate to think that if you can't hit them, you're still going out there trying. You know?
Eric, do you have a guess?
Would it be a synthesizer?
No. Rolling Stones are a pretty stripped-down basic rock band, but they've had at various times a synthesizer on a song. Generally, when they were feeling one-upped by the Beatles, they would try something.
If I were, I would want one of these. I think it's a good thing that they're bringing this along. I think it's a good piece of equipment for them.
Is it like a dietitian, personal chef kind of menu coordinator guy?
Personal chef? No. Marlene in Whidbey Island. Rolling Stones are bringing this on tour for the first time. I find it disturbing. What do you think it is?
Oxygen.
Now, wait a minute.
In tanks, all right. Everybody.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of that around.
I wouldn't be surprised either. Oxygen. That's a great guess. Really a great guess, and you'll see why. But no, that's not the story. Barb in Port Orchard, what do you suppose it might be?
I think it's a wheelchair.
Oh, come on.
No.
Come on.
Come on. Poor Keith Richards looks like he's 1 foot out of the
Hey, we did make the steel wheelchairs tour joke.
We did, but Mick is extremely healthy, apparently, Keith is going to basically just in mid-sentence one day.
He's going to play till he's gone.
That's right. Mark in Tacoma, it's disturbing me that the Stones have this on tour. What do you think it might be?
Teleprompters.
Ooh. Good
that
answer. That's not it, though.
Everybody's using them.
Are
Everybody.
They? Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's one thing when Ozzy's been using them for a dozen, 15 years.
Ozzy's been using, like, the president with the thing with the lyrics scrolling down the screen?
Oh, yeah. But you know what got me when it really hit home for me was its last Springsteen tour. Here's a guy, you know, I idolize this guy, and I'm watching this thing. They did a little thing in, Rolling Stone or Esquire magazine, and they show him doing a sound check, and there's a teleprompter rolling at his feet with the lyrics to his songs.
I never knew.
No, I don't think that Mick's using a teleprompter, though. He's way too active on stage. He's running around.
Yeah,
he'd have to have it clipped to his chest.
Those little Bob Dylan microphone stands with a
on a harmonica stand. Yeah. That's not going to work.
Ooh, Stone is wait for the line. Break it!
This is a great guess, Bill.
Yes, it's a doctor.
I would bet that they've had a doctor on their tour forever. And initially, it was like Dr. Nick for Elvis.
It was like, pacing a pharmacist, all right.
Yeah, and then now, I'll bet that's it. That's on the tour, but that's not what we're
looking for. It's not the first time it's been on. This is the first time they've ever brought one of these along?
Well, according to this British tabloid, Rolling Stones bought one of these and are bringing it with them on their tour. So now you know it's a thing you buy. Mike in Auburn. Mike, hello.
How about a portable fitness gym or fitness workout trailer like a lot of the athletes do now?
That'd be great to bring on a tour if you were the Rolling Stones, but why would it disturb me?
Well, because they can do it and you can't.
Am I that transparent?
Jealousy's such an ugly emotion, isn't it?
Thank you. No, that's not it. Matthew in Centralia.
A dialysis machine.
Ouch. All right, we've gone cordless on the guitars, but Keith now can only walk 5 feet from the side of the stage. All right.
That would be in the category of what I'm thinking, but and not it. And home transfusions. It's not that. Sean in Lake Bay.
Yeah, Viagra.
I think they're sponsoring the tour, aren't they?
I think so, but that's not it either. All right, we have one person with the correct answer. It's John at Fort Lewis. The Rolling Stones have purchased something. They're bringing it on their current tour. What is it?
I think it's a defibrillator.
It is a defibrillator.
No.
Are you serious?
Did you just guess, John, or did you...
No, what? I just guess it because I'm thinking a bunch of old guys, man. They're probably going to need one.
The one in the ambulance isn't enough. They got to bring their own.
They've got one right by the side of the stage.
Well, it's got a big, got a big tongue on it. You can buy it one yourself at the concession stand. All right.
Why not have one? I mean, not only for them, but they've got a huge crew, and these guys are all getting older. You...
I don't think they're still touring with the same speaker lifter guys.
Yeah, everybody go clear.
Yeah.
Baby, won't you keep me clear? Happy! Instead of going back in the 70s, they'd go back behind the speaker for a little bump. Now they can go back for a little bump anyway.
This is a first. It's amazing. Between them, Rich Voss and Bonnie McFarlane have appeared on Letterman, Tough Crowd, Today, The Man Show, the hit NBC reality series Last Comic Standing. Bonnie also has a brand new HBO special. But wait, there's more. The two of them have married. This is the first husband-wife co-headliner team we've ever had in studio and on the show. So that's amazing. Congratulations,
well,
guys.
Thank you.
I guess you're congratulating him.
I am, actually.
Our sympathies
to you, dear.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I was hoping you wouldn't say married because a lot of, you know, hot chicks in Seattle come to see me and they think they have a chance. I don't want them to lose that hope. You know what I'm saying?
But your wife is co-headlining with you.
That's okay.
Keep hope alive!
Who was that guy in here with the Danny Terrio shirt that was fixing everything? Who dressed this guy? 1970?
Eric. That's Eric. Eric. Yeah, you think?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he went deep in the attic to get that outfit.
Eric? My wife made me wear this.
Yeah,
so
sure.
This is what you have to look forward to.
Actually, just about everything he did, his wife made him do.
What's his wife's name? Frank?
Frau.
Close. Yeah,
I'm going to say, yeah, don't indict me because he's got a dumb shirt on.
How am I indicting you?
He is. He's saying, oh, it's your wife. You wait, you'll see.
Oh, she's the coolest person to be married to. She insisted I leave and play golf and go on, you know, to leave. And there's nothing that she's typically, you're not your typical woman. Like when we picked out our wedding invitations, you know, the lady came out with like 4 books, you know, hey, to choose from. We opened the first book, the second page, we go, yeah, we like that one. And we took it and just, the lady goes, you don't want to look at it? No, we don't, we're not into it.
Most women would keep you there all day looking at every single thing, no matter what, you know. So you're like...
I just sort of, you know, I threw together the wedding and it worked out well. Women got mad at me. They were like, you're going to ruin your wedding. Don't you care? You're going to ruin your wedding. It's like, God, why are people so negative? It's not like this is the only wedding I'm ever going to have. This is my starter wedding.
Well, now, since you brought it up, comics have a hard time staying married. I've seen it over and over. I don't know of any that...
Stiller and Mira. Yeah, I was going to say, you guys may be the next Stiller and Mira because they've had a really good run, and they still love each other.
But they
so
fight
much.
Like cats and dogs.
Yeah, but look at them, too. They're no lookers, so they have to stick together. You know what I mean? It's not like
we have the same problem, baby. I hate to break it to
you. You guys are hot. You're hot.
Look, Bonnie is really hot.
I used to be hot till yesterday on the plane when my tooth fell out right here.
Is that what that sound is? You lost a tooth.
Huh? I got to go to a dentist today and have them put my crown back in.
I like the hillbilly look.
I am a little worried, though, Rich. Is marriage going to affect your sobriety? You've had a good long run of staying out of trouble.
I got 19 years sober, 2 years off of gambling. What, are you kidding me? I just look at her and go, I don't even have to go to a meeting now. She keeps my memory green, you know. She has a couple drinks. I see how she acts. I like when she has a couple drinks.
Get off my back.
Plus, you could lose that.
What's if, yeah,
if you go out drinking?
No, I would lose everything. I'd lose my kids. I would lose everything.
Yeah, yeah.
My Rolex, my car, my life. No, I'm doing pretty well. I don't care about drinking.
Okay, that's good. The marriage sent me back to it. So.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was just checking.
Oh,
Bonnie, let me ask you. I mean, this is going to be an obvious question. How did you meet him? But it must have been the both of you were comics. You were probably at a.
He stalked me.
He stalked you. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Who stalked you? She saw me on the first season of Last Comic Standing. And I was at a club, and she came downstairs and said, oh, you're that comic? No, she goes, you're on Last Comic Standing. And I looked at her, I go, oh, you're that comic? And I go, you know, I'm on a date now, but if I wasn't, I'd hit on you. And then the next day...
You actually said that, first thing you said to her?
Yeah, what did I say?
Great line.
I said, yeah, I was on a date.
I'd hit on you right now, but I'm on a date.
Sure. She was so impressed. Weren't you impressed, Bonnie?
I actually kind of was, and, you know... Hit my ego.
And then the next...
By the way, normal social rules do not apply to comedians dating. Not at all.
And then...
But I didn't watch your show.
right?
And
you got mad at me because I left.
Yeah, she watched some of my show. And then the next day, I tried to get her number, and the club owner wouldn't give it to me. And I saw her at the same club the next night, and then we went for pizza, and we fooled around in the car.
Because you weren't on a date, which is good for you. Yeah.
We pulled her out of the car. And then for like...
No, you know, this is... I said, well, you want to go for coffee? And then, you know, I was like really into Last Comic Standing the first season. I was like, he hadn't done the finals yet. And I was like, tell me everything about the behind the scenes of the show. And he told me everything. Like, I didn't really expect him to sit down for an hour and a half and monologue, you know, but he did.
Well,
I was, like, falling asleep.
I beat her down, and then we saw each other on
and anything
off.
That's why I made out with you, because anything was better than having you go on and on.
Shut him up.
Like, as long as he stops talking.
No more stories. Yeah.
All right, I know how to get him to stop talking. This gets every guy to stop talking. This is the opposite of the way, you know what I mean? Usually it's the guy that wants the girl to stop talking. So, Bonnie, this is huge. You're HBO One Night Stand special. That's what an amazing career thing. What that caused me to wonder is, like, things are rosy now, of course, because you fool around in cars and stuff, but and you're going on a honeymoon to Hawaii, but will there come a point, what if one of you rockets to monstrous fame, like you have a show, Everybody Loves Bonnie or something?
Yeah, no, it'll happen.
And you have a TV husband and all. Would either of you get jealous, like this HBO special takes off?
Well, I think we get jealous of each other. Or we want, you know.
But also, too, that we're complete opposites, so you can't expect to get the same thing that the other person gets. Like, this year I wrote for the Oscars.
How you brought that
I
up.
I have to bring that
you
up.
Had to bring
but
it
wait
up.
A second. I see how this works.
Well, let me get down. Let me finish up, okay? Relax, okay? And she did an HBO special. But we also did a pilot together. For, you know, it wasn't picked up.
What was his name?
We are
Captain Jack, we'll call
him. Nice.
In the back of a car, nice. I believe it was, yes.
Those guys look like you would see them in a bar in the morning, don't they? That's what I like about them. Yeah. They're just regular guys that you would see still sitting at a bar stool at 8 a.m.
And I believe that's where I found each of them.
Yeah, and tomorrow that's where we'll be. It's our day off.
And then that guy you would think would work in a hair salon.
That's
anyhow.
Eric, yeah.
Oh, I had disco.
Here's the thing. So she'll do what she does. I do what I do. And so if we're lucky, we get to do stuff together. You know, and hopefully she hits and becomes so big that I just get cash, you know. Who would rather sit around and get cash?
Because that's how it always works. The guy always wins. The guy always gets the cash.
Somehow.
That's the way life is.
That's why I had to sign a prenup where I give 70% of everything I make.
Uh-huh. now, tell me about your honeymoon. Is that where you're going from Seattle to the...
Rich, how long ago did we get married?
What's today's date? Why?
Because you told him earlier, 2 weeks ago. And it was 1 week ago.
No, it wasn't a week ago. It was the 17th. What's today's date?
Today's the 30th.
Yeah, 13 tomorrow's days, tomorrow's 2 weeks. Oh. All right.
So it's still 1 week until tomorrow?
No, 2 weeks tomorrow. It'll be 2 weeks tomorrow,
he's
not
on
1 week.
Okay.
All right, you're not on it. I know it feels like 1 week because it's so great, but it's been 2 weeks.
They're old and haggling over this already. 2 weeks into it. They're arguing
not
about their two-week anniversary.
I told you not to eat that.
Sure. So you're going to Hawaii from Seattle right to Hawaii?
No, we go back to L.A. What happened? We got married in Edmonton because her family is from Edmonton area, a lot of drunken farmers that give two towels for a wedding present. Thank you. You know, that's great. Yeah, here, drink up 500 of my liquor. Here's two towels. Maybe you'll need it to clean up the throw up, you alcoholic.
It was fun.
Yeah, we had a great time. So we had a wedding in Edmonton, and then we flew back to New York and had a party in New York for my friends and stuff. And now Sunday we're having a party in Los Angeles for her friends and
then Hawaii.
And then Hawaii. So it's like three weddings that we planned. And you don't realize what creeps comics are until, you know, they come to a wedding without a gift or an envelope and T-shirts.
They have a year, right?
They don't know that. If they don't bring the money gift
everyone knows
that night, no, not comics. If they don't bring the money that night, you're not getting it.
Right.
Okay?
You've skated once. You've skated forever.
All right? Yep. And people go, where did you register? I wanted to register at Circuit City, but we had to do it at Dumb Bloomingdale's, okay?
That's the worst. It really was the worst.
Just what I need is a candle holder. How many candle holders you need to smash her in the head with, you know? One. Not 10 of them.
Someone with a good pistol grip on
sure.
it.
Sure.
Yeah. He's my man, ladies.
Very funny.
She met my kids. So
I know it's early now, but are you guys thinking about kids? I mean, if you have like a Ben Stiller, that's when the money really starts rolling in. You make two comets mating, it always works out
that's
great.
That's true.
It'd
be funny.
He gave it his best shot last night. We'll see what happens.
Rich Voss and Bonnie McFarlane, thank you very much, guys.
Thanks.
Great to see you. Congratulations.
Thanks.